Hi, my name is Gila Hoke, and I'm the director of the Dr. Beth Daniel High School Programs. This week's parsha is Parshat Tezriah Metzorah. Last week we learned about the story of the dedication of the Mishkan and the tragic deaths of Nadab and Avihu during the eighth day of the ceremony. And then the Torah takes a pause and brings us a series of different laws. In this week's parsha, in Parshat Tezriah Metzorah, we learn about three different types of tum'ah. The first type of tum'ah is the tum'at hayoladet, which is the impurity of a woman after she gives birth. The second type of tumah is the tumah of tzarat, which takes up the vast majority of our two parshiot and discusses the diagnosis, healing, and korban that's brought after the person has recovered from his or her tzarat. And then finally, we have a discussion of the tumot of zav, zava, nida, and tumat shichvat zera. All these types of tumah follow the same type of purification process. For tumot that are coming from a more natural type of source, we have a process in which a person needs to wait until the cause of the impurity has ceased, and at that point, he or she is able to immerse and become pure again. So, for example, the nida and the tumat shichvat zera both follow this type of process. However, for tumot that come from less expected, less regular types of sources, that person needs to wait until the cause of the tumah has ceased, and then wait a period of generally 7 days. These days are in this in-between state where they're no longer actively tameh, but haven't actually undergone the purification process yet. And then on the eighth day, that person can bring a korban. So both the zav and the zavas process follow this type of system. The tumat yoledet for a woman who's just given birth kind of falls in between those two, possibly because for a yoledet, although it is a natural thing for a woman to give birth, it's not something that happens on a regular basis. It only happens a few times throughout a woman's life, and therefore perhaps for the Torah, it fell in between these two types of tum'ah. It's also perhaps a break from what they considered the natural regular system of nida, and therefore perhaps also that's why it falls between these two types of tum'ah. So now that we understand that these all follow a similar type of process, which we see these processes also in tzarat, which is the more unnatural, unexpected type of tum'ah. So what do they all have in common? Why do they all follow this similar type of process? Although it's true that we understand from a technical perspective, what's the reason? What do they all have in common that allows for this similar process to cure each of these types of impurity? So we understand with the tumat yoledet and the tumot of nidah and zavah, all of those, because they all have something to do with birth and reproduction. They're part of the natural life cycle. So we understand that what they have in common, we understand why they would follow the same process. Similarly, we also have the tumat hamet, which does not appear in our parsha, but we see that also on the other end, on the death side of the life cycle, we see that it follows a similar process as well, that someone who's become tameh from presence of a dead body also needs to wait 7 days, and on the seventh day can become tahor again. So it seems to be that all of these have to do with the life cycle, and that's why they all follow the same process. They all come under the same same heading. But what about tzarat? How does tzarat fit into all this? How does tzarat have to do with the life cycle? In fact, if we look at the psukim, it seems that tzarat actually represents also the death end of the life cycle, that we see a lot of representation of avelut, of mourning on the part of the person who's been afflicted by tzarat. And not only that, but it seems that he's also even mimicking death in a way. If we look at the pasukim about tzarat, we see that the person who's been inflicted, once it's been determined that his tzarat is indeed tzarat, this person needs to rip his clothing, begadav yufrumim, v'rosho yaparua, that he needs to grow out his hair, ba'al safam yates, it means that he wraps himself in clothing. And Chazal actually learned from here that not only does he wrap himself in clothing, but they understand that this person is not allowed to exchange greetings with another, the same way that in Avel, someone who's mourning is not allowed to exchange greetings. So we see that, we see these aspects of Avelut regarding the person who has been afflicted with Tzarat. But not only that, we see that this person is in extreme isolation. The Torah continues and says, "V'tameh tameh yikra," that once this person has been declared to be inflicted with tzarat, we're supposed to call out before him, "Tameh tameh," so that everyone knows that this person is tameh, stay away. Not only that, but once he's been declared that he's tameh, he needs to leave the camp, he needs to go outside. "Badad yeshev michutz l'machaneh," the Torah tells us. Not only does he have to leave the camp, but he needs to be sitting by himself from which Chazal understands that this person needs to be sitting not only outside of the camp, but alone. There are other people sitting outside the camp as well who've been afflicted with different types of tum'ah, but he's not even allowed to sit with those people. He needs to be sitting alone, complete and utter isolation. This isolation appears in other aspects of tzarat as well, that even before the person has been declared to be tamei, it's possible that he needs to sit inside his home for 7 days, waiting to see whether the wound indeed becomes tzarat. And once the person has, even once they've recovered from their tzarat, while undergoing the purification process, he or she needs to be sitting inside their tent alone for 7 days, isolated from everyone else before bringing the korban on the 8th day. So we see that this person is not only acting as an avel, not only acting as if he or she is in mourning, but also even isolating his or herself, really almost as if they've died. Why? Why is tzarat related to death in these ways? What does this tell us about tzarat? Tzarat acted as kind of a warning system. Although when we're younger, we learn that tzarat came as a result of speaking Lashon Hara. In fact, if you look in the Midrash, Lashon Hara is one of 11 different types of sins that are listed as reasons for tzarat. Amongst others include theft and murder and pride and cursing God, all sorts of different types of sins, which can really cover, are general enough to really cover most of the things that a person may do wrong. And this is God's way of saying, this is not okay. I know that you've done a sin, even if perhaps society hasn't caught you in it and hasn't punished you. I am giving you a warning. It's time to start over. And therefore, this person needs to almost undergo a renewal process where they need to leave the camp, be separated from everyone, and then slowly come back in and be reabsorbed into society. And perhaps that also explains the strange korban that the person inflicted with tzarat brings. Once the wound has healed, he or she must then bring a korban of two birds, one bird which is slaughtered and one which is left to live and sent free. And perhaps that's also representing this thin line between life and death that this person with tzarat was living on. And then he or she is allowed to re-enter the camp, perhaps represented by the bird that's sent away. Perhaps also similar to the korban that we see on Yom Kippur, where we have the siyar mishalech, we have the goat that's kind of sent away. Perhaps also a similar idea that one is slaughtered and one is kept alive and sent away, perhaps representing as well this line between life and death. And then that person is allowed to come back into the camp and gets a second chance. Just as on Yom Kippur, we see ourselves repenting and we get a second chance. So now that we understand how tzarat fits into this as well, why tzarat follows the same process as other tumot related to the life cycle, now we need to ask ourselves, why exactly is tzarat here in this section? If this is indeed a section discussing tumot related to the life cycle, why is tzarat here, but not tumat hamet? Tumat hamet that we talked about before doesn't actually appear until later in Sefer Bamidbar. Why is tumat hamet not here, but tzarat is? I'd like to suggest that perhaps as a result of the previous surah, Nadav and Avihu, Tumat HaMet was a bit of a raw and sensitive topic at this point. Nadav and Avihu's death came as a complete and utter shock to Moshe and Aaron. And we know that when the news is reported to Aaron, it says, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron didn't even know how to react. And perhaps they were still getting over that shock and recovering from the awful story of Nadav and Avihu. So perhaps discussing now Tumat HaMet, a situation where someone may die before you, which is exactly what happened with Nadav and Avihu, perhaps that was a bit too sensitive at this point to discuss, and so it got saved to a later date. However, instead, Tzarat got inserted. Why Tzarat? Because exactly of this system that Tzarat seems to work on, this system of a warning system from God, that it's God giving us a second chance. Therefore, the message to Moshe and Aaron was saying, yes, Nadav and Avihu were almost struck down by lightning. That's the image that we get, where this flame just came up and just instantaneously they were killed. However, that's not generally how God operates in the world, and God doesn't want Moshe and Aaron to believe that is generally how God operates. Instead, the system is generally going to work that if a person sins, if a person transgresses in some way, that does not mean that God will strike him or her down with lightning. That's not the God that we believe in. But we believe in the God of tzarat, of the warning, of try again, take a second chance, do this again, take some time, think of it, and try again, come back in, and renew yourself, repent, which is what God always wants from us and tells us several times that is how things should work. And nowadays, even though we do not have tzaraat anymore in our lives, we're not even sure what tzaraat is, perhaps we can still take that message of tzaraat and have that open communication with God and understand that God wants us to constantly take time to renew ourselves and repent and constantly be working on ourselves and constantly improving. And sometimes it might mean taking that time, taking a step back, examining where we are, perhaps separating ourselves from something, and then jumping back in and trying again. Shabbat Shalom.